8:37. I'd like to check in with our media critic, Dick Weiss, every Monday about this time. Dick, good morning this morning.
Good morning to you, McGraw.
WeissWright.com. WeissWright.com is where we find you. We also find you at STLBeacon.org, in which you wrote the story about I.E. Millstone, which is a sad story. Yeah. And he has officially disappeared, and all signs point to possibly his death.
Yes, his family members are hoping for the best, but his car was found near the Daniel Boone Bridge and on Saturday, and a elderly gentleman was seen jumping from the bridge about 1 p.m., and they have been looking ever since for his body.
Yeah, a lot of people know the name. Some people don't know the name. They don't quite understand how big of a deal he was, but a legendary figure here.
Yes,
in St.
He
Louis.
Built so many things in St. Louis. The old Busch Stadium, the double-decker ramps that take Highway 4064 through downtown, the Millis Fountain, the B'nai Amunah Synagogue, which is an architecturally significant building. And he donated the land for the Jewish Community Center in the 1950s out there on Schutz Road, not too far from here. Made a lot of money and was enormously generous with it. And he is lived to be 102 years old and was spry right up until the end. And what the family revealed yesterday was that he had been taking painkillers. And he had not taken any medicine, he told friends, for his first 100 years. He got through 100 years without taking an aspirin.
Right.
And he injured his shoulder at a birthday party. He fell on his, I think it was his 101st birthday. And he took some painkillers, and that created some anxiety. And he was dealing with that at the time of his disappearance.
It's not confirmed if he was the one who jumped off the bridge. At that point, we don't know.
Not be confirmed. A car that belonged to a caretaker was found at the bridge. And he was able to drive. He'd been driving, as a friend said, in ice and snow.
Right.
Right up until near his disappearance. So, you know, you kind of can draw that conclusion.
Right. A lot of people say that media shouldn't and doesn't report on suicides. But this is special circumstances, and it's somebody who's well-known.
Right. Generally speaking, the rule of thumb is if somebody does this in public, it's fair game to report. And if it's a public figure, a well-known person, it is also fair game.
Right. All right. So your story is in the Beacon, STLBeacon.org. Another story that's making some national news is this Chris Coleman case, the triple murder. Coleman in Columbia, Illinois. What are your thoughts on watching the media, including yours truly?
I'm interested in your thoughts on being on Nancy Grace four nights in a row, you say?
And tonight will be number five.
Are you on again?
They're on again
tonight. What are you going to have to say? Are there new developments?
That's breaking news. What are you talking about?
Are you going to scoop yourself?
It's Nancy Grace. It's breaking news. What are you talking about? I'll tell you this. Friday night she wasn't on. And they whispered in our ear, they said, Gene is going to be filling in for Nancy Grace, and are you guys free Monday night, 7 p.m., to do this again? I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think about this. I think it's probably a pretty important story. I think the pressure should be kept on the Monroe County Prosecuting Office to get to some answers here. Are they going to charge somebody? Are they not going to charge somebody? I think the media is an important part of this process, but as for Nancy Grace, I have no idea.
What my impression is that it's a great local story. I mean, I think that it's been covered appropriately here in the Post-Dispatch. And why it rises to a national level to me is that this is a beautiful woman who was murdered, two lovely children. They are white, and this is ever since I think OJ. Cable looks for these stories because apparently it does something for the ratings. There are national stories. There probably ought to be national stories about violence that involve others. Bob Herbert wrote a column just a week or so ago about this, and he recounts an incident that occurred when he was a reporter at, I think it was the New York Daily News. He said, I was sitting at the end of a conference table when the editor was conducting a meeting. The news had very seldom had a black person at those gatherings, and mine was the only black face in the room. And one of the stories being pitched was about a baby that had been killed on Long Island. The editor running the meeting was completely relaxed. He was sprawled in his chair and was holding a handful of papers. His legs were crossed, and he said, what color is that baby? And that was how judgments were being made right there. And so he brings up the point that there have been a spate of murders in Chicago, school children being killed that have not gotten nearly publicity that these other kinds of Coleman killings
right
have taken place. Now, CNN, which is not CNN Headline News, which is where I think Nancy
CNN
Grace
Headline
is.
News is Nancy Grace.
Yeah, CNN
right
has been covering that pretty well.
The
other
Chicago
networks have the Chicago killings.
Right,
but,
yeah.
He just brings up that contrast, which is not to say that the Coleman case is not a compelling.
Well, the Coleman case has it all. You have yeah a beautiful girl. You have two cute little boys. You have he works for a religious ministry.
Right.
The
irony.
She was very religious. He comes from a religious background.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he calls the cops and says, my family is in trouble. Please go find them for me.
There's a grandpa who's a minister, right?
His father is a minister. Well-respected down in Chester, Illinois.
Yeah, so.
So it's got all the makings of a.
Yeah, what also is interesting is the how the police are handling this in sort of a public relations wise. They have to say that they found they know who the killer is to calm the community now because everybody is scared that somebody was on
right
the loose. But they can't say yet who that killer is, who they think that is.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people are connecting the dots, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Farrah Fawcett is breaking ground, we think, with her show about showing us how she's dying.
Yes, I thought of that. I saw the hype for it. You couldn't not watch NBC or MSNBC without seeing a banner saying that Farrah Fawcett's two-hour documentary about her illness was going to be on, and I was not going to watch it, but I did, really for the purposes of this program. And I have to say, I wasn't as repulsed as I thought I might be.
Right.
It seemed like it was going to be an overshare, but it was interesting, and her journey was interesting. You know, I think she's actually, her career, I think she was dismissed somewhat as a little bit of a bimbo.
Right.
But she is a good actress.
The Burning Bed, remember that?
Yes,
she was won
yeah
the critical acclaim for that.
And she was, good actors are intelligent, generally speaking, and
right
I think she is intelligent. And the way in which they went about this documentary, I couldn't watch it all. I just couldn't. It was too
but
sad.
You know what? But what are you supposed to do? Television is supposed to bring you places you don't normally go, and
right
and it's supposed to show you something. I mean, talk about, and this is groundbreaking documentary stuff, a famous Hollywood actress dying, and the cameras are there to watch.
And NBC not only hyped it, they treated it as news. There was a story on the nightly news, which I'm not sure that was correct call. It wasn't. I don't think ABC treated it as news or CBS, but and it was nonetheless interesting. It was a great example of people who are in the limelight who somehow feel that they need to continue to tell their story
mm-hmm
in one way or another to their public. Elizabeth Edwards is doing that as well, and when you are facing you know some dire circumstances. What you try to do, I think, is control your story. We do that in our own lives in one way or another
right
with our families. And
well, Katie Couric's husband died,
uh-huh
she had her colonoscopy on national TV.
Right.
So
there's something to be said for sharing your story and bearing witness. So I don't. I was rather surprised by my reaction to watching an hour and 15 minutes of a two-hour documentary. I watched the 45 minutes at the beginning and at the end.
What's the best story we've never read?
Well, of all people, the economics reporter for the New York Times, Edmund L. Andrews, got himself on the brink of foreclosure because of an unwise mortgage loan. This is a person who should know better. And he did one of those subprimes, and he borrowed money.
The,
no
the
money
economics
down.
Writer. For
the economics writer. He's writing about the Federal Reserve and you know all this, and he gets himself in trouble. So he writes he needs some money, so he says, "Well, I'm gonna sit down and write a bestseller about my foreclosure crisis,
about my stupidity."
And the New York Times Magazine is printing an excerpt, and it's really compelling. It's very well written, very well done. And who knows, he might be able to save his home by selling this book.
That is at Weisreit.com.
Okay, find the link there on my website.
There you go, Weisreit.com. Dick at stlbeacon.org. Read the story about I.E. Millstone. Dick Weiss, always a pleasure. Thanks for popping in.
Okay.
848. We'll check in with Mike Shannon next on the Big 550 KTRS.